and may use the word, the decision was not mine. Sergeant Bellow came over. Trouble? He inquired sweetly. His manner should have warned me, but I mistook it for an unsuspected human streak. Yes, sir. My gracious. It was too late. I was caught. I looked up at him with dumb, pleading eyes. Okay, lad. You just get that rifle firmly in the left hand. Fine. Now the right. My, my, that is hard, ain't it? Whereupon Sergeant Bellow sat on my right shoulder. I swear I heard it crack. I thought I was done. But I suppose it did nothing more than stretch a few ligaments. It worked. My right shoulder met the rifle butt, and my left arm remained unsevered. And that was how I learned the unprofitable sitting position of shooting. I saw but one Jap killed by a shot fired from the sitting position, and this only when no fire was coming from the enemy. Still, it was amazing how the Marines could teach us to shoot within the few days they had us on the range. That is, teach the remarkable few among us who needed instruction. Most of us knew how to shoot, even surprisingly, the big city boys. I have no idea of how or where, in the steel and concrete wilderness of our modern cities, these boys had developed prowess in what seems a countrified pastime, but shoot they could, and well. All the Southerners could shoot. Those from Georgia and the border state of Kentucky seemed the best. They suffered the indignity of the rifle sling while snapping in on the sand dunes, but when live ammunition was issued and the shooting butts were run up, they scorned such effete support, cuddled the rifle butts under their chins, and blazed away. The drill instructors let them get away with it. After all, there is no arguing with a bullseye. I was one of those unacquainted with powder. I had never fired a rifle before, except an occasional .22 in a carnival shooting gallery or the gaudy arcades of Midtown New York. A .30-caliber Springfield seemed to me a veritable cannon. The first time I sat on the firing line with 2 5-round clips beside me and the warning lock and load floating up from the gunnery sergeant, I felt as a small animal must feel upon the approach of an automobile. Then came the feared commands. All ready on the firing line! Fire! Baroom! It was the fellow on my right. The sound seemed to split my eardrums. I jumped. Then the entire line became a splitting, roaring cauldron of sound. And I got my Springfield working with the rest of them, firing, ejecting, reloading. The 10 rounds were gone in seconds. Silence came, and with it, a ringing in my ears. They still ring. It was not long before I overcame my timidity and began to enjoy shooting. Of course, I made the mistakes all neophytes make, shooting at the wrong target, shooting under the bullseye, getting my windage wrong. But I progressed, and when the day came to fire for record, I had the monumental conceit to expect I would qualify as an expert. An expert rifleman's badge is to shooting what the Medal of Honor is to bravery. It even brought $5 a month extra pay, a not inconsiderable sum to one earning 21. The day when we shot for record, that is, when our scores would be official and determine whether we qualified or not, dawned windy and brutally cold. I remember it as dismal, and that I longed to be near the fires around which the sergeants clustered, smoking cigarettes and forcing a gaiety I am sure no one could feel. My eyes ran water all day. When we fired from the 600-yard range, I think I could just about make out the target. I failed miserably. I qualified for nothing. A handful qualified as marksmen, 2 or 3 as sharpshooters, none as experts. Once we had shot for record, we were Marines. There were a few other skills to be learned, the block parry thrust of bayonet drill or pistol shooting, but these had no high place in the Marine scale of values. The rifle is the Marine's weapon. So it was that we marched back to the barracks, with our chests swelling with pride